Welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast from ExchangeWire, bringing you the latest news and views from the world of ad tech, media, and marketing.
Hello, and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Grainne Reid, Head of Marketing at ExchangeWire, and your host for today. I'm delighted to be joined by Anna Bogger as our guest today. Anna is the CEO of the Out of Home Association of America. Anna, it's great to have you with us.
It's really good to be with you.
Alongside Anna, we have Lindsay Rowntree, ExchangeWire's COO. Lindsay, as always, great to have you.
As always, great to be here.
Amazing. Well, this week we're going to be unpacking three big news stories that signal important shifts across the programmatic outdoor and industry consolidation. The OAAA launches a programmatic transparency pledge to strengthen trust and accountability in digital out of home. The global outdoor advertising market projected to hit $26.47 billion US dollars by 2034, highlighting strong sector growth, as well as the EU clearing Omnicom's acquisition of IPG without any conditions, marking a major consolidation milestone in ad tech. So first up, let's kick off. The Out of Home Advertising Association of America, in collaboration with leading programmatic platforms, has introduced the OAAA Programmatic Out of Home Transparency Pledge. They describe the pledge as a unified set of principles designed to highlight the high standards that programmatic out of home adheres to and ensure trust and clarity in every transaction. Key elements of the pledge include accurate and honest inventory representation, equitable transaction processes, transparent economics, reliable campaign reporting, transparent data access. So Anna, I'm going to come to you first because obviously this is very close to home for you. But why is transparency so important?
Well, full transparency. First of all, I apologize for that very long name that you just had to read. It's very catchy. Very catchy. Well, it's quite simple, unlike the name. I think, you know, out of home as an advertising medium, we're the oldest form of advertising, and we've been around forever. And one of the things that I think the reason behind that, outside of our ads being in view and out there where people live their daily lives, is that we are a very fraud-free, transparent medium. You know, we can't be skipped, we can't be blocked, and we're very trusted, not just among the companies that buy out of home, but I think also by the audiences that see it. And we want to keep it that way. So this is not, we're sort of not necessarily even coming in front of a problem. I think we want to point out the good things about our medium. And we felt that as out of home, where, you know, again, we're many different types of signage, ranging from billboards to transit to airport to what's called play space. So smaller screens in shopping malls, elevators, we're basically everywhere. And as we're becoming increasingly digital, that means that programmatic and automation comes into the picture too. And what we felt was important was that we point out that, you know, as other types of media that are transacted in a programmatic fashion, struggle with a lot of problems around what ad is going to show up, did it show up, what happened along the way from the publisher to the brand being published or from the agency buying it to the brand, like where did all the dollars go, right? Like all these middlemen along the way. We're currently sort of building that ecosystem. And I think what we wanted to, alongside with six major players in the space and then hopefully more joining, is to point out that we're going to be very transparent about that. That anyone who along the way wants to see where did the dollars go or how did the ad show up, that they can do so. And we're building this ecosystem as we're building out programmatic and standards and different ways of doing it for different types of signage in a way that that is very clear. And these are six major players, so they have a big hold on the market. I think they dominate most of the programmatic transactions. So them pledging to be transparent is super important because that means that hopefully there will be increasing faith in our medium and not all those questions are being asked that might rightfully so be asked of other digital types of media. What data was being used? How was the money spent? Did the ad show up? The verification, all the kind of workflow issues that we're going to be transparent about that. And we're a trade association, so we can't really police. But I think those players that have done it, they've committed to something. And hopefully that's going to lead to brands that want to, or agencies that want to engage with our media, feeling that they're safer places to go to when they buy out of home. So very simple. We're transparent. We're going to continue to be transparent, and we want to make sure that out of home comes across as the really powerful medium it truly is, and a good buy for an advertiser that want to show their message to their end consumer ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lindsay, to you on this as well, what importance do you see?
What's interesting for me is the out-of-home industry in the US is very, very different from the rest of the world, in the sense of obviously the scale is obviously massive, and you've got a lot more kind of like small independent media owners that we don't necessarily have in the UK or in other parts of the world. It's certainly in Europe and maybe Asia as well. Well, less so Asia, probably Southeast Asia, but it actually is probably a little bit more similar to North America, in the sense of you've got things like your gas stations as media owners or dentists as media owners, and the mom and pop shops that own a billboard. And there's a lot more of that kind of happening. And I think that that makes the market in the US very interesting. And I think that this, as a pledge to transparency and programmatic, is fascinating, because there's nothing else really like it that I can find that exists so far to sort of like cover the out-of-home industry specifically. And Anna, you mentioned that, you know, you're not trying to get kind of get in front of it, but it almost feels like you are trying to get in front of what could plague out-of-home, programmatic out-of-home, in the way that it's plagued other digital channels that are kind of more ahead. Obviously, there's been huge transparency issues across digital media for as long as digital media has existed. It's been a huge challenge for brands and agencies to get ahead of that, and a huge challenge and a huge kind of level of mistrust has occurred as a result of that, that it's taken years to try to claw back. And this feels like, obviously, I suppose the challenge for you guys, not a challenge, but the point is, it's a pledge, it's self-attested. There's no kind of, as you say, policing yet, because, you know, you can't, you're a trade body, you can't do that. But it is at least something to kind of show, listen, we're taking this seriously, and we are seeing, you know, what might have happened in other channels before us, and we want to make sure that we are, you know, that the same doesn't befall out of home. And I understand you're saying that, you know, you're trying to show kind of the beauty and the benefits of the industry, but it also is very helpful to kind of go, listen, we know transparency has been an issue for you guys, especially because programmatic out of home, certainly in more emerging markets, is kind of still like a lot of budget is being moved there gradually, but it's been a slow burn versus more traditional static billboards. This is kind of, I would assume, really helpful to try to get players that maybe want to start investing more budget in programmatic at home to kind of get them to see, yes, actually, this is helpful for me. This makes me feel more secure in my investment and my trialing of this channel.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, full transparency. Again, my background prior to coming to the OAAA, where I've been 6 years, was almost 10 years at the IAB.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was there through the years of like the really early days of programmatic as it evolved, the development of the standards, the lobbying, everything that we did on behalf of the industry to make it grow. And we were very successful. But, you know, also didn't necessarily play out the way that anyone could imagine, because programmatic was a new thing and nobody really fully understand how it worked. And I think as I came here and programmatic is evolving and out of home, I think that I personally, my team, and also some of the major players here, where a lot of them have a background on that side too, saw the benefits of coming in front of that and making sure that we as an industry, you know, avoid some of the mistakes that maybe were made in other places of digital. And obviously our goal is to grow the industry, and we think that this is something that can help. Most of the growth in out of home today comes from digital, and programmatic is one of the strongest growing kind of channels of sales for us. So it's important that we continue to nourish that, but also that we keep ourselves clean and that we bank on some of the trust that, you know, is lacking in other areas. So no, you're kind of spot on with everything you said. And it's not, you know, just a good thing we're doing. I mean, we do it because we understand and we know. And I was very much part of the journey when I was at IAB. Mm. So for sure. And when I said policing, we can't police. However, as somebody pledges, it's sort of on them to then live up to that pledge. And if they, for whatever reason, don't, you know, then obviously we can be told about that, and then it can be made more clear that they weren't transparent. So I think the companies that did this with, you know, all the intention knowledge of what it meant. So I think it's even though it's not the law, it's a very strong pledge and a strong signal to how we want to conduct as an industry moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think that what I am intrigued by as well is, do you think that down the line, this could turn into an infrastructure play or a standards play, maybe not led by the OAAA, but kind of could you see it help drive maybe other areas where standards exist across digital media and other channels that could actually extend to programmatic out of home as a kind of almost like a continuation of what you have created here?
I would hope so. And I think that there are not exactly our pledge, but the IAB certainly has a framework for transparency as well and guidelines for it. So, you know, we're not the only ones. But yeah, I think on the standard side, as we move forward, programmatic standards in out of home is developing as we speak. And, you know, it's still a very, it's still not an auction-based environment. It's different, and there's a lot of automation, not just programmatic, going on, but we want to get to a place where we're more easily programmatically transacted. And that means also buying audiences across many different channels. So not just out of home. I want to buy auto intenders 35 to 40 in these markets. And it doesn't really matter if it's a billboard, if it's, you know, in an elevator screen, or if it's on, you know, social media. I just kind of want to get to them. And we want to make sure that out of home can be transacted in that way. And that's kind of what we're working towards. And obviously, this pledge then hopefully will spread into other areas, because we're sort of part of that play. And we're also developing an update, I should say, or a refresh of our taxonomy so that it's easier, because out of home is many different things and many different signage. And you pointed out also in the US, it's a lot of different companies that do it. So it's important for us to simplify how you buy it, what format you're getting, kind of the value of that in the overall framework, and then tying transparency to that as well. It's a little bit more complicated in out of home than it was. A website is a website, you know? Yeah, a screen is not a screen. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, fascinating. And I guess, like, you've mentioned that you're working with a lot of the leading programmatic platforms, but how can smaller platforms or emerging platforms benefit from aligning with these standards?
Well, I would think that if you're pledging to be transparent, that's going to be helpful to you as you're selling your product. We're transparent, you know, we're a good player, and they can point that out. We don't currently have a badge, but I can imagine us developing something that really proves that you have pledged. And then that's hopefully going to give you a competitive advantage over other platforms. And also, you know, the companies that are going to want to work with you, both from the buy and the sell side, because this is not just something that the buyers benefit from. It's the sellers too, who, you know, ultimately want to obviously get as much money as possible they can for their inventory, and not having the deal in between the two, you know, being diluted by a lot of not always necessary middlemen along the way.
Yeah, I noticed you mentioned obviously the six companies that are involved in this pledge. Now to be five, because I saw literally this morning that Broad acquired Place Exchange. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah,
just shows the dynamic nature
deal
of out of home.
It is, and I think that is a huge deal. It will also simplify, you know, where to go and how to buy out of home. I think the two are a really good fit, where BroadSign is much more of a buy side platform, and Place Exchange is a real true SSP that also has a lot of measurement capability, which is an out of home currently under evolution. So I think the two, a lot of great synergies, also a sign that there is going to be more consolidation on the programmatic side and out of home. And that is, of course, happening because there is more interest in programmatic and out of home. So it's really good. And we'll make it easier, I think, for the large exchanges and you know, DSPs to work directly with out of home too, if you're talking Google or Trade Desk or, you know, any one of those. So yeah, that's a really big deal and exciting, you know. And of course, Vistar was acquired by T-Mobile about a year ago. That's another really big platform. They still operate under that name, and they also pledged. But we're starting to, you know, get some of these like bigger platforms that can handle more in out of home, which is really good.
Excellent. Well, yeah, we're certainly going to be keeping an eye on how this pledge shapes. But let's move on to our next news story for the week. And it's still keeping on the topic of out of home. The global out-of-home advertising market is poised for significant expansion, according to findings from Allied Market Research. Valued at $16.29 billion in 2024, the market is estimated to rise to $26.47 billion, which is the equivalent of £20 billion, by 2034. The growth is expected to be led by digital transformation, accelerated urbanisation and infrastructure development, the power of high reach and visibility, and integration into the omnichannel marketing mix. And Anna, I'm going to come to you first to see what you think are the biggest opportunities for advertisers offered by this medium.
Well, I think, like Lindsay just pointed out of home is a very local, regional, and national play today, as are most forms of advertising. There are not many campaigns that are actually being bought globally, but pretty much every country across the globe has signage, and they're all a little different in what that signage looks like. So they're different drivers in different markets and also depending on maturity. But I think in the US, which I really can speak to most, first of all, without releasing any numbers, because we're doing it next week and I don't know when this is going to air, but we're far outpacing in Q3. And I think this whole year, what was forecasted by Magna, for example, and a lot of other shops. So we're doing well, we're growing faster than expected. And I think we're going to continue to see more growth there. A few reasons behind it in the US, we just talked about it, programmatic, the ability to buy and transact out of home programmatically and in an automated fashion is going to help drive growth. The ability to leverage data and more sort of sophisticated tools to create campaigns and also, you know, optimize and change and go up and down in your spending across channel in a more real-time way is going to help out of home grow. Those are things that have held us back. We are currently undertaking a huge project around measurement in the US to make sure that we get measurement that's more harmonized with other media channels and it's easier to compare out of home, which I think will help drive growth. But one really big thing in the US that we're already seeing that is spurring a lot of the growth is, you know, the fact that, first of all, it's a very real medium. And in an environment where consumers are increasingly worried about privacy and what kind of ads they're being served, we're trusted and we're right there where consumers are. We can also reach any consumer. It's not polarizing. If you're going to be in a location, you're going to be in a location no matter what your beliefs and who you are. So you can reach any consumer several times a day, which I think to a lot of brands is a very appealing thing. And then, you know, AI, which is, of course, going to significantly, and we can already see it in the US, you know, affect digital media in particular, and a lot of publishers where audiences are disappearing. You don't really quite know where to find them. You know, there are tons of different AI tools that are now completely kind of dominating the search space. And again, publishers are kind of giving up all their information to these platforms and are going to find a hard time reaching them in a way that brands like brands can control the message that is out there. There's a lot of deep fakes and frauds in digital media today. And brand will find it very hard to control the message that goes out there, not just if it actually happened, but what was actually posted and how is that kind of potentially being misconstrued. And, you know, out of home is not plagued by any of those things, right? The message will show up, you know what it is, and the audiences are not going to go away because of AI. They're going to be in that location. And we're already starting to see some growth because of that, because I think it's a medium that's easy to understand and a safe place to bet your dollars. And then there are certain categories in the US that are driving a lot of the growth too. One big one is pharma, that for the longest have been, which I don't think is being advertised the same way in other parts of the world, but in the US, farm advertising is a big one. It's billions of dollars, mostly have been relying on television because there are certain disclosure requirements and, you know, they also want big audiences, right? They have, again, traditionally mostly advertised in that channel. Now, because of some governmental issues around farm advertising on television, such as it potentially being becoming illegal. And then, you know, the fact that television isn't really the platform it used to be with, from an audience perspective, is looking elsewhere, and they're looking a lot to out of home. So that's another growth area for us. And, you know, an industry that's currently worth about $10 billion, if some of those dollars are shifting over, I think we're going to see explosive growth in out of home. So there are a number of things that are working for us at the moment. And I think those, I looked at that article, which I hadn't seen before, and that particular number. And to me, it kind of felt low. I think we're going to see more growth. And again, this is a global report, so I can't speak for all the other countries in the world. But if you look at US, for example, I think the growth is going to be far greater in the next couple of years than I would assume that they have put in that report. And given that we're almost half of that, you know, today, that I think you're going to see more growth.
Really interesting. And yeah, just great that you've got so much optimism in the industry, which is amazing. And I guess, Lindsay, obviously, there's been a lot of opportunities there highlighted by Anna. But is there anything else that you want to add to it that you think has been just, yeah?
Well, I think that Anna's last point about the fact that she thinks that the growth amounts listed in this article are on the low side. I think I'm in agreement with that. Like, I was trying to look more regionally, because the article, while saying global, is also quite US-centric in the way that it's talking about kind of where the growth will sit. I was trying to understand kind of what we're looking at in OPAP, because obviously we talk about out of home a lot at ATS London, at ATS Singapore as well. And I think that what's interesting is they're seeing huge, huge growth, and certainly huge digital penetration and programmatic penetration. And in Asia in particular is a huge growth area for out of home. And I've seen some reports that reckon that there's a potential combined annual growth rate in APAC of 22.28%, which is significant. But you've got other sources saying it's 11%. So it's one of those things that, it's again, as a channel that means so many things to so many people, and there's so many different ways of tracking it and measuring it, and there's not real global standards when it comes to measurement and tracking of out of home and digital out of home and programmatic out of home and bringing them all together, the numbers are kind of all over the place. But what it's showing is that growth is going to be big, and there are so many opportunities for it to be big. And if you look at the US, probably is more advanced when it comes to programmatic technology, and it comes to the opportunities that exist, and there's so much opportunity for the out-of-home industry to grow into the technology that's been developed. In Europe, the digital penetration is probably greater, and programmatic penetration is probably greater. But there's the, you know, we spoke about it at ATS London, there was a challenge of where do budgets come from, and are advertisers taking money out of traditional static billboard advertising and putting it into programmatic out of home, or is it coming from display advertising? And you don't want to shrink out of home more generally. You would like it that the static advertising that exists with out of home is maintained, and those same advertisers go, well, the static out of home works really well for me. I'd like to invest more into the programmatic side of things as well, to be able to target differently, to be able to target more locally, more regionally, and try out different formats and be more experimental. Let's take budget from YouTube. Let's take budget from display advertising, which is not delivering anymore because Facebook not delivering anymore. Let's put it in programmatic out of home instead. And you'd like to hope that that's where the budget's coming from, rather than let's shift from static billboards into programmatic out of home, because it means the category itself won't grow. And I think there's huge opportunity for growth across the world. And there's so much opportunity. You know, if you look at the Middle East, there's you know, a long way for that area to come, but there's so much opportunity in terms of digital penetration as well. The Europe, we're seeing like high levels of it. APAC is going to be probably just ridiculous in terms of how much digital that is. And the US really is showing that there's, you know, a massive transition in how billboards are being bought and how billboards are being planned for. And, you know, your mention of AI, Anna, as well, I think is very interesting, because that will completely redefine exactly kind of what programmatic out of home can look like, both from a planning perspective, a strategy perspective, but also from a creative perspective. And that, I think, is going to be super exciting. And we'll probably see, again, APAC lead on what that looks like, because they probably already are, because, like, you know, like everything is kind of internet things in APAC, and certain towns have been completely created out of like just become walking digital billboards. So that's going to be a really interesting place for us to look. And I think that growth is going to be massive.
If I may comment on that, I want to say first on the AI thing, it is exciting for out of home, because a lot of the issues that come with AI for other parts of the industry, ad land, so to speak. It, for us, it's just like helping with measurement, being able to process larger data set, creativity, moving faster, understanding environments better. Like AI can be a really helpful tool for us. It's not necessarily something that stands in our way. And then back to the growth, I think, you know, I think it's important. And that's why I mentioned the pharma category, for example. Growth in out of home and the way we're being transacted today in the US, which is a very kind of insulated way where we're mostly as an industry competing with each other and not with other channels. The ability to compete with other channels, because we can be bought programmatic, is it's easier to buy, it can be measured better, and it's easier to understand where the ad is going to show up, which is, that is easier to do in digital. Doesn't mean you can't do it in static, but that's where the growth is going to come from, because then those dollars can shift over. And I think otherwise we're not going to grow. It's just going to be a shifting of the budget. And, you know, the static part is digital out of home is growing, is contributing a lot to the growth, because when you have a digital sign, you can run more content on it, right? Like you could do basically one billboard or one sign can run a lot more ads than one static sign can do, right? Because you own that for a month, for 7 years, however long it is, it's always there. As whereas with digital, you can keep switching it out and change the creative or change the advertiser. That's where a lot of that growth is coming from. Static is not, in my mind, I don't think ever going to die. I think that we're going to see a lot more digital because very cool signage technology, and also, you know, the industry wants more of it because you could create more scale. But end of the day, it depends on the advertiser's goals. The ability to own a location completely, whether it's with a static or digital sign, but static kind of speaks to that, is hugely powerful. Static is not just this boring flagging billboard on the highway or a bus shelter with like some boring creative on it. It can be the most high-end inventory and a landmark that keeps getting repeated to a consumer on a daily basis. And if you look at the largest out-of-home advertiser in the US today, it's Apple. They pretty much only do static. They do long-time perps in very specific locations where they put static signage up because it's just more compelling. And then you have another piece, which is not a huge part of the industry, but a very significant part of the industry when you look at luxury advertising, which out of home is a big platform for, and that are murals and just like wallscapes and a very, very high-end, almost art-like content. You'll see it all over New York, and a lot of the high-end fashion brands do that. It doesn't get more static than that. You paint on a wall, but that's signage that is very, very powerful, and that is desirable, and you know, again, gets locked in for long periods of time. So the static side of the industry is just different. It's not going to go away. It depends on the goal of the advertiser, whether you choose to do static or digital, and how quickly you want to be able to change creative out, or frankly, the amount of money you're prepared to spend on a location. And static may never be able to be transacted programmatically because it doesn't make sense, but it can certainly be transacted in an automated fashion. So if you're thinking about an advertiser wanting to buy specific audiences across, that doesn't rule out static inventory in any way. So I just want to clarify that, because I think that there is some sort of, sometimes, and I hear it a lot in my job, a little bit of a misconception that, oh, digital is like the end all be all and all the static is going to go away. Absolutely, the industry would like to see more digital because it's you make more money on it because you can make more of, you know, that particular location. But it is a truly powerful piece. That's really part of our medium. And our ability, which is the big part about out of home, our ability to reach audiences at scale that are far greater than social media or television or anything else on a daily basis across all of our platforms. The important thing is to be able to tie them together, transact them in a better way, and measure them as such. When we can do that, it's going to be far easier to sell the medium. And that's what I think will happen in the next 10 years, which is why I think the growth is going to be a lot more than what we saw in that report. Sorry for that long.
You're making it sound so easy.
I had to say it because I think it's important.
Yeah, definitely.
No, 100%. And obviously, yes, there is a lot of growth, but we've also seen some consolidation, and that has been reshaping the wider industry with the EU's approval of Omnicom's acquisition of IPG. So the EU Commission has unconditionally approved Omnicom's group of a $13.25 billion deal, which is the equivalent to £10 billion. And it is to buy the rival of IPG Group. The deal will merge the third and fourth largest ad buyers, creating the largest advertising network globally. Yeah, obviously this is a big story and it's been going on for a couple of months. But Anna, how do you think this deal can change the ad landscape?
Well, I mean, it's a big deal. It's also, I feel like, been going on forever. I think it's yeah, probably more than a year, but you know, it's like it's been a saga, and I think it's been interesting to why it took so long. You know, even for the EU to, you know, I don't know what held them up or what was behind it, but it took a long time to push it through. It's a global deal too, so it's you know, it's not happening overnight, but it's a big deal for you know, the advertising world and the agency side in general. I mean, I think we're just going to see more consolidation. This forces even further consolidation. We have two giants merging. They're going to see efficiencies. I mean, they've been very clear about that. That's the goal of this. And, you know, that's going to put pressure on others. I think we're just going to see fewer large giants controlling a lot of the market. And I also think we're going to start seeing a lot of smaller or mid-sized agencies coming out of this, maybe agencies that are combining creative and media buying and not just kind of putting it in different silos, as there probably will be room for this when these giants are kind of battling each other. So I think it's interesting. I think it's just one more move. There's going to be more, you know, there's already talks of rationalization and other potential mergers in the market. I'm not going to speculate, but I think this is just one more, and I think we're just going to see more of it. And I think that, in combination with whatever AI means to agencies and how they're going to need to develop, you know, frameworks and products with that in mind, and maybe not the same type of talent that they have now, is going to, I mean, I just think that there's going to be a lot more change. But I think it's exciting that it got approved after such a long time. And I think now we're going to see probably in the next month some changes as the two are merging. And then I think that's going to initiate even more change if it's not already under conversation.
Yeah. Lindsay, what are your thoughts on this mega merger?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Anna that it's been a long time coming, and I'm intrigued as to the fact that the EU Commission have allowed it to go through without any conditions. So it's basically just go right ahead and do what you want. And I think that the fact that they have done that, along with the FTC as well, having obviously approved it, I think it makes it feel like, because the argument here was that we are trying to compete against media owners and against walled gardens that are way, like big tech, that are way bigger than us, and we haven't got the buying power to be able to do so. So if you let us merge, we can actually kind of have that clout that we have been lacking for so long. And they've bought that argument, haven't they, basically? They've kind of gone, yeah, okay, yeah, we see your point. Yeah, we'll let this happen.
Yeah.
And so there's been lots of talk about it being, you know, we've gone from big five agencies to now big four. But it makes Omnicom and IPG, the merger, Omni-G, IP-com, so vast that, I mean, yeah, if you want the names, I might trademark them, so you have to buy them off me. But
you made money on that.
Yeah, I think I really could. Yeah. But it makes them so vast that you can almost argue there's like two tiers of the top agencies now, and you could put Publicis, because Publicis have maintained strength and maintained growth throughout all the challenges that all the big holdcos have been having. You could argue that Publicis and the IPG Omnicom merger are now operating like a sort of the god tier of holdcos, and below them, not far below them, but still below them, would be WPP, Dentsu, and Havas. And so that, for me, makes it very interesting as to what it's going to look like. And
yeah,
I agree with Anna that there's definitely opportunity for independence here, because the indies will be able, you know, when you have any kind of big consolidation or big sort of merger, it affects clients. Like, they start to have uncertainty around the deliverables, uncertainty around buying power, around contracts, et cetera, so they might kind of go, right, we're going to look at our contract and see kind of what the opportunities are here. Is it worth us staying with this new version? What will this new version look like? How will it affect how they deliver on my brand? How will it affect the team working on my brand? It might be time for me to look at a repitch. And so indies could could do really well here by kind of if they can work out what their different point of differentiation is from them versus a giant like Omnicom IPG, it might be that a lot of brands kind of go, do you know what, I want sort of like a smaller, more dedicated kind of a focus on my brand and not just to be kind of one of however many brands that exist working, you know, with this sort of giant behemoth. So I wonder if that's going to raise some opportunities. And I think, Anna, your point's very interesting about the kind of combining the buying and the creative together, because I think that, again, represents a real good point of differentiation for these for the indie agencies here.
Yeah, and it does. And again, in an era of AI, when you're going to like it comes down to the tech and who can do the most amazing thing, right? I think combining the two is going to be really interesting. And I think from the indie perspective, it could be aligning yourself with one of these big giants, but finding your own special niche. We see that in Out of Home a lot, for example. Or, you know, there are other holdcos that are growing. If you look at in the US, for example, Stagwell. That is a holding company that is like growing by the day, acquiring a lot of these smaller agencies and, you know, doing it a little different. I think that's another way of doing it. I do think Publicis has created a position for themselves, and they have incredible tech that, you know, is going to force a lot more, you know, and even from Omni, I can't even remember what you call them. It was brilliant. But,
okay, like, you know, Omni G.
Omni G. But yeah, I think there's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of movement come forward. And I, you know, finally on the EU buying that argument, I think that just shows, unfortunately, how little the government understand of what's going on in advertising and how it works.
It really does.
I do think so. And I should probably not say that because I work for a lobby group, but I kind of feel that way.
You're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. And I think that what also kind of when you see or hear about big mergers like this, you then wonder what's going to happen to the individual agencies. Like in the larger market, it's fine. They'll probably have enough clients, enough clout to be able to operate alongside. Down the line, they'll start merging teams and there will be job losses. It's inevitable. And there will be kind of a huge restructure. But in the short term, you wonder kind of in the smaller markets, like what they will do about that. And will they just completely cut one department, one team, and then just keep one agency? So there's going to be a lot of uncertainty for a lot of the people that are employed at those two companies at the moment. And so hopefully they'll come out soon kind of with a plan that kind of helps bring some comfort to people, or at least for them to have a clue what's going on, because the more you know, kind of the more you can prepare. But I think that it'll be interesting to look at, certainly, you know, for example, the smaller kind of Asian markets, the smaller markets in Africa and the Middle East, and kind of, you know, in the smaller markets in Europe and in Latin America, they will be kind of wondering, well, what happens if I've got my tiny market has an Omnicom office and an IPG office? They're not going to keep both, surely, and they probably won't. So what's that going to look like in the short term? And that's going to be interesting to follow as well. And again, that will, like saying earlier about kind of the opportunity for the indies, that will make the clients sort of go, yeah, well, hang on a second, where do I sit here? Let me start looking somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And, you know, they have been very clear that it's all about, you know, efficiency, and that usually means cutting. So lots of changes. And lots of smart people who can create new agencies and who knows their clients
so
well.
True.
And, you know, I think all of this is going to lead to, I think, a lot of innovation and a lot of opportunity for people who are driven and have new ideas, because this is like this kind of, which is why, you know, this finally happening is a good thing, because I think it will unleash a lot of powers in advertising that haven't been out there necessarily before. So,
yeah. I think you're right. Like there is room for everyone. There are so many brands that need these services. There is room for everyone if they're able to offer something that's different from the next person. And the fact that so many indies across the world are able to flourish like this, and those indies have been started by people that probably normally left cold co's and went, I can do this myself. I've got a good relationship. Let's see what I can do. And they've grown and grown and grown. And you know, that's how some of the kind of the bigger companies now are doing so well that started out that way. Like there's, I think, Anna, you're right. There's great opportunity here, and what a positive positive way to positive start.
Well, I'm trying because I know also know that there's a lot of anxiety and it's been going on forever and everyone wonders what's going to happen. But I think you have to think about it that way. And I think especially if you're new coming into advertising, young people, I think there's a lot of opportunities on the agency side. I just think you need to pick really carefully what part of the agency you're going for, or, you know, how you're positioning yourself, and understand technology, which, you know, again, is going to be a real deal breaker here. And I think if you get that, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, amazing. Well, yeah, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that. There's three big stories for the week, and appreciate both of you joining and sharing thoughts. So yeah, Anna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yes, great chatting with you. And Lindsay, as always, thank you so much.
It was great chatting with both of you. Thank you very much.
And that is it for the MadTech Podcast. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to the MadTech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire.